All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, today we are in for a really special treat from my perspective. It's more conversation about Charlie Kirk's assassination and more conversation about Turning Point and what they're doing right now. Because the education wing of Turning Point is absolutely phenomenal. And you'll hear my guests tell us that they've had over 500,000 requests for some of their materials just since Charlie's assassination. It's just an onslaught of requests. And they've had great impact on the education homeschooling of students around the country, but they have a new thing called Turning Point Prep. All right, so that's all going to be interesting, I promise you. But right away, we'll be talking to Dr. Hutz Hertzberg, who is the chief education officer for Turning Point, about the memorial service. He was there with his wife, Lynn. What he saw, what he's seen since this happened, what the family's doing. It's really interesting. I don't think you'll want to miss it. But first, there are vast numbers of Americans who have not had a chance for life because their mothers have decided to terminate their lives, either in utero or with the abortion pill, whatever they're doing. And so even if for no other reason, that shouldn't happen in America because we've promised everyone the right to life, and that includes our babies. So on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens, and it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and to leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that it's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to afr.net, afr.net, and listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. All right, well, stay tuned because Dr. Hutz Hertzberg from Turning Point will be our guest on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Everything changed for us, and nothing changed for us. By everything, I mean when your founder and your chief executive officer is assassinated, really martyred for the things that he believed and taught and stood for, obviously that changes an organization. But it also has changed nothing in terms of the resolve, the commitment, the fortitude, the courage that I'm seeing throughout our organization. I lead the education division. There was not one second we thought we're going to pull back, we're going to fold the tents, we're going to cower in fear. It was just the opposite. We're doubling down. We're tripling down. And that spirit is throughout the entire Turning Point USA staff.
All right. That's the voice of Dr. Hertzberg speaking at a conference of America 250 Civics Education Coalition. And we'll probably talk about that some. I've talked to you quite a bit about America 250, how excited I am that every department in the government is taking this on and going to make it a great celebration. But that even the educators are doing that, which is thrilling to know. But Dr. Hertzberg is the chief education officer for Turning Point USA. He has been there since 2022. He has an incredible resume, which I'm going to share a little bit later, actually. But I've asked him to join us this morning because he's worked for Charlie since 2022. He's known of Charlie from as Hutz is from Chicago, as we are. And actually, in full disclosure, Hutz and his wife, Lynn, are very dear friends. Just the most unique, wonderful servants of God, power, spirit-filled, and I'm proud to call them friends. And so I always think, when I think of Charlie, I think Hutz is right there next to him. And I know that Hutz is breathing into him God's word and also great guidance. Okay, so Hutz, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy. It's always good to be with you.
Okay, now, Hutz, I didn't go to the service. I was invited, actually, but I just felt like I wasn't close enough to Charlie. I knew him, but there were 300,000 people there, I think, in Phoenix in two different facilities, and I figured there were plenty of people to be there. But we actually pulled off the side of the road in New Hampshire, which is where we were traveling, and listened to the service by the side of a mountain. So, and I've covered it now. I've done two full shows on the service. So I just wanted you to know the details and the things that happened were phenomenal. Oh, God, we thank you for that 4.5 hours. But you were there, and I want to ask you to describe what it was like to be in that place a little bit more than 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sandy. It was really, I can't put it any other way than really probably once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. To be with like-minded folks, by and large, not, obviously not completely, but and really it was more like a worship service than a funeral service. It was honoring to the Lord. I thought it was very honoring to Charlie. But there was such a spirit in that place. And you probably have covered this already, but the 2 hours before the actual service started, there was 2 hours of worship music and singing and praise and you're so gifted in that way, but we had a guest with us that we brought. He's probably the leading surgeon in Phoenix, is a family friend. He said to me this was the most worshipful service that he'd ever been part of, not the most worshipful funeral service, but most worshipful service, and he's a committed Christian man, goes to a large church in Phoenix. So there was that spirit in the room, and it was really a confluence of feelings. I mean, we continue to grieve the loss of somebody who has meant so much to so many people, and you're seeing some of the outreach or the response to Charlie's passing around the world, literally around the world. I mean, I can share numbers with you later, but just on our website alone, we've heard from 199 countries just on our website, and so that's incredible. But it was just a unique kind of an experience where people were coming together to grieve together, to worship, to thank the Lord for Charlie's life. And again, you've heard some of the testimonies, you've heard the messages. We were there for 10 hours, and at the end of 10 hours, you really didn't want to leave. It was that kind of experience.
That I was describing to my audience what it's like when the Holy Spirit really fills a place. I've had that experience a few times in my life. When I was a kid, I had it when I was about 17. Not in my personal life, because the Holy Spirit, as we are believers, is filling us. So I want to be clear about that. But there's different than corporate worship, where you feel the Holy Spirit coming down, and you don't ever want to leave. You're not tired. You're not sleepy. It's just an electrifying experience. You know, I would tell you, as a person watching it on television or video, this is what struck me, Hutz. You know, Oh, the worship that started the service. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above it all in all powers and dimensions. And as we're singing this, and I'm here singing in the car with my, raising my hand to heaven, I see Tulsi Gabbard, Secretary of Homeland Security. I see Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War. They're not parading in. They're coming in with their entourage, but their faces are sober, worshipful. And the president was there. The vice president was there. And several other cabinet officials were there, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And just this, the establishment of the order of things, that no matter what your position, Secretary Kennedy was there also, the order of things, God is above it all. He transcends all powers and dominions, presidents, vice presidents, all of this. It just struck me freshly, like I don't know that. But it was just beautiful, Hutz, just beautiful.
It really was, Sandy. And I don't know that there's a person there that was not touched in some way, and many profoundly. And of course, it's more than just a service, because it's Charlie's life and what he represented and who he was and what was important to him. And that was also, I think, caused this to all ring so true, is because it wasn't just worship music tagged on to a service to make it nice. I mean, this is what Charlie believed. This is what he lived for. I mean, I knew him well enough to know that his relationship to Jesus Christ was the most important thing in his life. And he brought his faith to bear in the public square as much as anybody I know. I mean, you've done that all your life as well, Sandy, but, you know, not a lot of people do that. But that's who Charlie was in the face of numerous death threats. I mean, this was not unusual. What was unusual about what happened in Utah was that someone actually actualized the death threat. They actually followed through. But Charlie virtually every week got death threats. But every week he went out and spoke in all kinds of venues, not just college campuses. And so this is who he was, and it was a life that was lived to the glory of God. And not, you know, none of us are perfect. Charlie wasn't perfect, but in so many ways he modeled the kind of life that we want our young people and even people like me that we want to live, a life of courageous faith for the glory of God.
You know, I was thinking about a lot of things. I never heard what you just said until I heard you speaking at that America 250 Civics Education Coalition, that Charlie got death threats every week. I don't know how I missed that, but that's important to know. I did hear that before he went to Arizona, he'd been alerted that there was some strong opposition there. I guess I'd put it that way. What do you know about that?
When he went to Utah on that day?
Yeah, Utah. Sorry. Yeah, Utah.
Yeah. Well, and again, that was not unusual. He had security, virtually 24/7 security, but certainly from the time he left his house, his home, until he returned, he had security with him. He had to. And I remember the first time I had dinner with Charlie when I was considering this opportunity. We were meeting at a restaurant in Phoenix, and we were talking, and we get up, and it's time to go, and about four guys walk out with us. They were all in the room, but seated at different places in the room. That was before I knew Charlie had security, and they were all there. Charlie and I, you know, were eating alone, but they were there in the room. So, yes, there was no question he had death threats, but as I said earlier, that didn't stop him from doing what he felt God was calling him to do.
Hutz, I'm going to just insert now your resume a little bit so people will understand. I don't even know the order of things here, but I know you as a, let me just start here. Hutz has been a chaplain at Chicago O'Hare Midway Airports for years, behind the scenes, every Sunday, organizing all of these chaplains and all of the ministry to people that pass through those airports. And some of you will remember a few years ago, Hutz, and we won't stumble on this, Hutz. We'll just say that Hutz died, actually, at the Midway Airport in the restroom and was revived. It was the most incredible story. It made the Chicago papers, and Hutz had the opportunity to share his faith in other ways. And as far as I know, Hutz, you're still a healthy, living person. It's a miracle. And so Yeah, well, it is. And so also he was a chaplain to the Marine Corps for a number of years. I met him when he was executive pastor at Moody Church in Chicago, he and his wife, Lynn. He was, gosh, some of this is cut off of your bio, but you led the Orchard Network, and that's an evangelical church in Arlington Heights, Chicago. But you were the president or whatever your title was, the Christian Heritage Academy, which is ranked every year, was ranked as one of the best Christian high schools in Illinois. So, this and then not only that, but also I want to mention that, where is this? Christian Union, that you were working with Ivy League colleges out on the East Coast, living in Princeton, bringing the gospel to that tough crowd. So that's kind of your background. I didn't give it all, but I wanted people to understand. So how is it that you ended up at Turning Point, Hutz?
Yeah, great question, Sandy. And in fact, in staff meeting this morning, I just got off with our staff, and you know, we obviously spent some time again reflecting on Charlie, and our whole team was out at the memorial service, and we had some of the prep year students that we now are hosting down in Fort Worth, Texas. They were out there as well, so we spent some time processing it all. And one of the things that I said, Sandy, is that God is always doing something bigger and greater than what we can understand. And so by that I mean, you know, God does not waste anything. So just kind of cut to the quick here. So I'm serving as president of Christian Union, which is what you just alluded to, Christian development, leadership development organization for students in the Ivy League. Plus, we added Stanford when I was there. The feeling was, just in a nutshell, is that 80% of our nation's leaders come from basically 20 schools, and you know, including the Ivy League schools. So let's go upstream and get these kids and expose them to truth and to godly mentors while they were still reachable before they took positions of leadership in our country. And virtually, if you look through all sectors of leadership in our country, from government to technology to business to media, there's a very small number of schools that these people come from. And so that was the focus of that ministry. But I began to see, and others have seen this as well, and this connects with Charlie because he was seeing this, but Dr. Robert George, who became an acquaintance, I wouldn't be so presumptuous to say he was a friend, but he became a professional acquaintance, who's a distinguished professor at Princeton, professor of jurisprudence. He was asked, Dr. George, in your 39, now it's 40 years at Princeton, what have you noticed that's different about the students? And he said, I'll tell you what's different is that they used to come to college to become indoctrinated. They're now coming to college already indoctrinated in high school and junior high and even, I would say, in grade school. And so that had that really stuck with me. And so long story short, when the opportunity was presented to me to come back to Illinois and be president of this Christian school in the northern suburbs, K-12 school, it was something in the past I wouldn't consider, but I began to realize how strategic that was to get the students and parents and families earlier. And the reason I share all of that is because that was completely unbeknownst to me at that time when I made really a step of faith, I think, to leave the position I was in to go and, you know, lead this K-12 school. That's how I became connected to Charlie Kirk. And it's a very interesting story, which I'm glad to share that because that was the connecting point in answer to your question.
You know what? I'm going to borrow a little excerpt from your speech at America 250 Civics. Because you tell part of the story, which is just great, and we're going to listen. This is clip 7.
And the way that I got involved, very simply, was Charlie was a student at the school that I was leading. Now, it was a K-12 school in the northern suburbs of Chicago, which is where Charlie grew up. I came there as the new president. Charlie was gone at that point, but his reputation, if you will, continued at that school, and his fifth grade teacher was still there. And I said, Cindy, tell me what Charlie was like as a fifth grade student. And she said, well, I have two memories of Charlie because a few years had passed. Charlie left after fifth grade and ended up in the public school and then went to a public high school in our area. But she said, I remember a couple things about Charlie. First of all, he was always carrying a football around. He always had a football in his locker and he was carrying a football around. But secondly, she said, he was always organizing the other students. And I thought, you know what? We don't really change that much, do we, when we're young? And so, but here's the other thing, and this really speaks to the heart of who Charlie is and was and who we are as an organization. She shared with me that during Charlie's fifth grade year, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. And that set the trajectory of Charlie's life. And that faith foundation informed him and really guided him right up to the very last moment.
You tell how that started at the academy, which is so cool. That is such a cool story. But he was known, you know, for getting into these deep discussions. He did that with Erica when he first met her. I think they talked about, what, yeah. Plato, Aristotle, and I'm not sure what else. Did he do that in the office? Did you get into these deep theological discussions with him?
Well, you know, speaking about the interview with Erica, I kind of joke because, she was interviewing for a position at Turning Point, and about halfway through, Charlie said to her, you know, I'm not going to hire you. I'd like to date you. And she said, well, Charlie, maybe we should be friends first. And Charlie said, I already have enough friends. I'd like to date you. And so Charlie. But in terms of, you know, in answer to your question, so, you know, now I'm interviewing with Charlie. It's June of 2022. I can still picture myself in the boardroom with Charlie. He comes in with shorts and a T-shirt. You know, there's nothing ostentatious about him. And, you know, it was the most friendliest interview that I've ever had. But then there was a serious part at the end. But, you know, I came away thinking that, you know, if this was an interview, I mean, either Charlie's going to want to date you after an interview or he's going to hire you, because it just was so friendly. And but at the very end, you know, and of course, you know this, Sandy, and your listeners know this too, that, you know, you also want to be interviewing the person that's interviewing you, and you can have the greatest job in the world. But if those that you're working with, and especially those that you're reporting to, are not the kind of people you want to work with, and the best job in the world ceases to be the best job in the world. So I had a few questions for Charlie, but my last one was this, and you'll appreciate this. I said, Charlie, what is the goal of Turning Point USA? Now, he was hiring me to lead this new education division, but I wanted to know, you know, what was his vision or goal for Turning Point USA? And he looked me right in the eye and said, to save Western civilization. And I kind of chuckled and laughed and thought, you know, that's funny. And he smiled a little bit, but then I realized he wasn't joking. And at that moment, I knew, well, I'm in, because this man is absolutely serious, and he sees things at such a macro level. And, you know, it seemed like such a bold, audacious kind of vision or goal, if you will. And but now, 3-plus years later, I think many of us would say, Charlie accomplished that goal by the work that he did in this last election cycle and all the other things surrounding that. And if you know, Sandy, I think you would agree with this, if the election would have went a different way, I'm not sure Western civilization as we know it would be the same. And so even President Trump, J.D. Vance, you know, they give Charlie a lot of credit, and they give Turning Point a lot of credit for the victory in this last election. And so, yeah, very, very interesting.
I was just thinking, this reminds me, what you just told reminds me of a comment President Trump made in his message at the memorial. And one thing he said was, Charlie used to call me at night, and the first thing he would say was, Mr. President, we have a country to save. And President Trump said, oh, thanks for telling me that, Charlie. But that's the way he'd start every conversation with President Trump. Anyway, so let's talk about the international thing, because I did spend some time. I think there's a lot to say about the effect it's had on nations around the world, and I know something about it, but I'd love to know what you guys are hearing at Turning Point that I wouldn't know. How are you seeing the reach of Charlie's death in other countries around the world?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Sandy, that and I may be off by a couple of weeks, but I'm not off by too much. I think it was just, maybe 2 months, 3 months at the most, Charlie was over at Oxford and Cambridge, and he spoke several times over there, not, you know, in the very recent past. And it was interesting, you know, that in London they had 1.4 million people in the streets after Charlie was assassinated. And it wasn't a protest as much as it was a vigil and people holding up signs saying, "I'm Charlie." And then Charlie just very, very recently, just a week or so before his assassination, he was over in Asia. He was in Korea. He was in Tokyo and spoke there, had a big speech over there. And in fact, even there's a picture of him with a young Korean, the son of a Korean pastor. And Charlie said, you know, if you get imprisoned after this, I want this picture so that I can post this all over my website. Well, the young man ended up being imprisoned. And so the pictures come out posthumously of Charlie and this young man. So I say that to say that even in God's, you know, timing and in his providence, here's Charlie who hasn't done a ton overseas, but, you know, just in the weeks leading up to his death, you know, he had had a significant overseas presence in a few countries. But what we're hearing is what I had mentioned maybe offline with you, is that in our Turning Point Education division, our website alone, so there's the big Turning Point USA website, and then there's our Turning Point Education website, which is focused on K-13 education. And I just checked again with my website administrator, make sure I'm not speaking incorrectly here, but we've heard from 199 countries. In other words, 199 countries in the last 2 weeks. This is not in the totality of our existence. Just since Charlie's assassination have come to our website to look. Now, and also hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands across the United States. But to think about 199 countries, I think there's only, 220 countries in the world?
Something like that.
It's mind-boggling just to think of the impact. Unbelievable.
You know, I wish I could had time to read this to you. Maybe I'll send it to you. There's a guy out of Great Britain, and perhaps you've heard this, but he wrote a little piece that was on Twitter, I believe, and that someone sent to me. And he basically said, "We here in Britain are thrilled, we Christians here in Britain, are thrilled every time, once a year, Queen Elizabeth would quote a scripture at Christmas. We were thrilled." And he said, "At Charlie's memorial, I heard scripture after scripture after scripture, people singing the gospel, the second coming, the faithfulness, commitment." He said, "You Americans should get on your knees and thank God for what's happening in your country, because you are the light of the world." That's what this guy said. And I think you know well, Huts, that Britain is going through a horrible, horrible time. I think the Europeans who've been so cold-hearted are beginning to wake up. Even Scandinavia carried Charlie's funeral. Did you know that? Scandinavia?
No, I didn't.
The television,
no.
Yes. Well. Yes. I saw a huge crowd of people in Italy singing, "Holy, you are holy, holy. Holy forever." I mean, just a vast crowd. Oh. It's just amazing, Hots. It's amazing. Breathtaking,
well,
really.
Our good friend, our mutual good friend, Pastor Erwin Luther, was leading a Reformation tour when Charlie was assassinated, and he reached out to me and said, "It's basically wall-to-wall coverage here in the countries that he was in." And he said, "I've seen it in France and Germany and Switzerland. It's just wall to wall on, you know, BBC and CNN," and, you know, and you just think of the impact of a life lived for the glory of God. And I keep thinking of John 12:24. You've heard it quoted, Sandy, but I just have to say it because I think it so fits in here that these are the words of Jesus. "I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And I can just tell you, I'm at the Museum of the Bible right now. I was at an event last night, the Battle for the American School, and person after person came up to me. I had the opportunity to share about Charlie and Turning Point, and telling me stories of the impact that Charlie had on a family member or a friend or on a football team. It's just incredible. And you just have to believe and sense that this is bigger even than a person. This is the Spirit of God using this in an unbelievable way. And we're just, you know, we'll never know all the stories, but just the stories that we are hearing are just mind-blowing, and I just feel like God is doing something incredible. And, you know, the thing that I keep thinking of, Sandy, maybe you do too, is that, you know, after 9/11, there was such a groundswell of interest in church and getting back to reading your Bible and to praying and groups coming together. But it seemed to me like that, you know, fizzled after a few weeks or, you know, quickly, you know, dissipated. But it'll be a real test of to see whether or not this continues, you know, not just the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, but continues. And honestly, I think it will, because I believe it's a work of God's Spirit. And all the seeds of truth that have been sown in these young people over the last 13 years by Charlie, by others, I think that's going to bear real fruit. And so I don't think we're going to lose the impact of this. I think it's actually only going to become greater as time goes on.
I see it the very same way, Hudson. I also thought of 9/11 and how people were awakened a little bit, but it didn't last long. I feel like that was like an emotional response, and I believe God was trying to give us another chance, a chance to wake up, and we failed that, I believe. And I'm with you. I believe this is a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit, but I have a caveat, and I'm guessing you probably do too. I've been watching what's happening to these student groups on campuses since Charlie's assassination, and I want to give a couple of examples here. Just bear with me. This is a kid named Ryan Leonard from New York University. And this is clip one. He's describing what just happened to him on campus. This is clip one.
We had gathered around just to have a solemn memorial for Charlie Kirk. And
about 50 people.
Yeah, about 50 people, students, very wholesome event. And they encircled us. And as we ignored them, as we prayed for them, as we sang the national anthem, it just enraged them more. They got more aggressive. They physically intimidated our members and gave us all kinds of death threats and threats to our safety.
And did you feel threatened?
Totally.
And were cops there to help you?
We had coordinated with NYPD, so they were around. They had to eventually escort us to safety when people really started getting pushed around, things started getting intense. This is the center of...
your campus.
Of Barron Trump's campus, too.
Yeah.
People feel like it's being taken over by these people who play into this culture of censorship by murder. They, you know, now that we are allowed to say what we want to say, the only way they can stop us is by killing us.
All right, then let me just continue this story, because I actually saw the clip of this somewhere where this kid Ryan was, I don't know what he was doing. It's a clip and you can't tell. But this other kid had sat across the rope they had put down and was playing guitar, looking him right in the eye, saying, "We don't want your salvation. We want you dead. And he started describing in song, while he's playing guitar, all the things he was going to do to Ryan, horrific things that I can't repeat. And so Ryan was on with a girl named Reagan, who was at Delaware, UN, University of North Carolina, Delaware. They also had a situation, which I won't go into right now, but this was the conclusion of their discussion on Fox. This is Ryan and then Reagan. This is clip four.
Do you feel as though the temperature's been brought down on campus?
I wish I could say so, but it feels like the opposite. It feels like times are worse than ever to be a conservative on campus. You know, the violence, the death threats that we're seeing around the country are reflected in our students and in the people around us.
Reagan, what about you?
I do not feel safe on campus, quite frankly. We've had bomb threats, shooting threats. I've had friends blowing up my phone since I've been waiting for this panel to start, just saying, "Are you safe? Are you safe? Are you okay? Like, you can't walk on campus by yourself anymore. Your face is everywhere. It's all over social media." So tensions are not going down on campus. Conservatives are afraid. And all we want to do is talk to the other people who have different ideologies than us. We've talked about it, and we want to spread the gospel, as you can see in our video. We want to pray for them, and we want to pick up the mic where Charlie left it. We just want to have a discussion.
Huts, I play those because I want people to understand this is not the beginning of good times.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I want to know. I don't want to say much more. I want to know what do you think when you hear that? And another TPUSA, a group of kids, I didn't even play that, went out to just this week to Tennessee State University, and they were the mob was horrendous. That's all I can say. They had to run actually and get out. So what do we say to our kids, and how do we prepare them for that, and ourselves too?
Well, Sandy, yes, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, the battle is not over. But I think the first thing to realize, and Charlie realized this, and, you know, you understand it and understand it, and probably many of those who are listening today will understand this, that this is not first and foremost a political battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is a war that's taking place in the heavenlies. And so, you know, the darkness hates the light. You know, evil can't stand the good, the true, and the beautiful. And so we have to address this by spiritual means. And so, you know, that's why, you know, Charlie was a firmly committed to the Word of God, to prayer. I mean, that's what gave him the fortitude, if you will, the courage to do what he did. That morning that he flew up to Utah, and I had this verified, one of my executive team leadership guys was on that plane with Charlie. And I said, Andrew, are you sure? What I do? I just heard you say this, but I want to make sure I got this right. That for the two-hour flight from Utah, from Phoenix up to Utah, Charlie was reading his Bible, and he was texting questions to his pastor. And then you might recall, Sandy, that the first question that he got there in Utah that day, just moments before he died, was a question from a Mormon young person saying, you know, Charlie, I know that you're a Christian, and you know, I'm a Mormon. Could you help me to understand the difference and why you're... And so for 15 minutes, Charlie patiently, graciously laid out the gospel. And then, as we know, the second question was about transgender violence and whether that was, you know, predetermined or not, that's when the assassin would kill him. I don't know, but, you know, he did. But all that to say that, Cindy, we've got to understand that this is a spiritual battle, and these kids on campus need to understand that it's more than just political ideology. It's the darkness hates the light, hates the truth. And Charlie was committed to little t truth, you know, the values and conservative principles that you and I and many of your listeners would agree to. But it was his faith in the big T truth, the ultimate truth, that gave him the ability to do what he did. And so I think we need to help students understand that and realize that this really is a spiritual battle more than a political battle.
Did you by chance see Elon Musk interviewed on the floor before the service started? It was very brief. Anyway, I'll just tell you what he said. You could hardly hear him, but the guy asked him, Ben, I don't know, what happened or what's your perspective? And he said, Charlie brought the light, and the darkness killed him. That from Elon Musk. Charlie brought the light, and darkness killed him. I just thought that was amazing, Hudson. Well, I think part of the reality that you and I both know, but some people who are on the front end of faith don't understand, this isn't all in. This is all in. This is a commitment unto death. And I think, you know, I remember being, remember Urbana, the Urbana Missions Conferences at University of Illinois?
Oh, yeah. I went a couple of times.
I was there in 84, I believe it was, doing radio for Moody in the men's locker room. I interviewed Billy Graham in the men's locker room at this, but anyway, that's not why I mentioned it. It's just funny. But remember that they had thousands. This is right after Christmas. And people came from all over the world, really, and certainly all over the country, college students. And at the end, they would give them this challenge. If you go into missions, you have to understand that you may lay down your life. How many of you are willing to do that? Are you willing to give your life? And thousands stood. I'll never forget that. But it was clear to them what they were coming into, and I think that's probably the part of the message that we have to say. This is not an easy road. It's not good times. It's going to be hard for adults and for kids.
Yes. No, you're 100% right, Sandy. And again, I think for so many, Charlie embodied that, and you know, he embodied that kind of fearless courage where, you know, there wasn't a conversation that he backed down from. And there wasn't a conversation that, you know, he wasn't respectful and would listen to the other persons. And so, you know, Charlie's given us a model. In fact, you know, we read about the models in Scripture. I love this verse in Hebrews 13:7. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life
and imitate their faith. And, you know, Charlie has given us an example and, you know, and as you've just said, you know, paid the ultimate price for that. But in God's economy, you know, he fulfilled God's plan and purpose, and he didn't die 1 second before the Lord had ordained for him to die, and he had fulfilled his mission, his purpose, his race. But I do think you're right that, you know, we can't sugarcoat it. And I think for so long, Sandy, I think here's, we want to get at the root of the problem. I think, and I think you'd agree with me, it goes back to the church, to the Christian evangelical church that, you know, has refused to, in many parts, I mean, there's some wonderful examples, and both you and I know some wonderful examples and exceptions to this, but for so often, you know, the church has not spoken to these issues and almost has spoken against involvement in these kinds of issues. And so, you know, people, and especially Christians, have not stood up and said, you know, I want to be part of the answer. I want to be part of the solution. And yes, you know, this is part of my calling to speak truth and love in some of the hard and dark places. And as a result of that, you know, we've given up so much to the darkness. And Charlie and others like yourself, you know, have tried to recover that. And I think we've, you know, in certain areas and times, we've made some progress. But don't you think that the church in so many ways have abdicated their responsibility of calling Christians to a life of sacrificial service, not just in the church and not just in Christian ministry, but in society and culture as well?
Well, yes. Well, yes, I do. I talk about that all the time, Hutz. And one of my biggest fears was so many people have really been touched by the Holy Spirit in a deep way. And many of them have expressed, thousands, I guess, I can't quantify it, want to go to church for the first, want to read the Bible for the first mm-hmm. time. And the thing mm-hmm. that I thought, they're going to, what are they going to find when they go to church? Oh, Lord, what are they going to find? Are they going to find someone preaching the gospel and Jesus and the world in everything? He's in everything, in everything. Or is it an everything Jesus is Lord preaching? Or is it just, you know, this little narrowly defined I want to say ghetto of evangelical Christian believers. And I just pray that this, do you have any idea, do you have any signs yet that any pastors have been shaken by this and sort of like adjusted their thinking yet? Any sign of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually, you know, I've been feeding a number of pastors incremental testimonies and words from Charlie and my own words about Charlie to the number of pastor friends that I have. And I can tell you that it's with mixed results. I there's some pastors I feel like they were kind of on the fence that this has pushed them over. And I could name some names that you would know that I thought made some really courageous statements, and rightfully so, after Charlie's assassination. And then there's others that, you know, barely got a mention or at all. And I'm thinking, really? We've just experienced the martyr of a man who loved Christ, and that even, you know, doesn't merit, you know, some sense of I don't even know what the right word is. I mean, certainly prayer for the family. I mean, you think that would be at the very lowest level, but also a sense of rallying the folks in the congregation and then speak against not evil, but also speak for a life lived to the glory of God and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Really, if you boil it right down, I mean, Charlie was a martyr for the Christian faith.
Absolutely.
Yes, but I could, without naming names, I could give you some examples that would encourage you. I could give you some names, examples that would discourage you. But, you know, I have taken on, my wife Lynn has taken on, you know, as a part of our ministry and mission is to help pastors understand. And there's been some incremental movement, and so we're thankful for that. It just seems like it's tough sledding, though, honestly.
Well, I've said for the last several years, I think there's been a move of God in this country. I just sense it. And I'll tell you why. Tucker Carlson started talking about Jesus. Jordan Peterson started talking about Jesus. Elon Musk started talking about Jesus. Our president started talking about Jesus. And there is a move afoot, but it isn't happening in the church. It was Charlie Kirk and others outside the church, not in the church. Maybe a few exceptions. But I don't know. God's going to sort this out, Hutz. I don't know. He's got to sort this out. He will. He's very capable of doing that. But before we go, because I've kept you a long time, we have to at least speak about the great things that you're doing. Turning Point Academy, is that like a homeschool curriculum?
Yes. Yeah, so thank you. And we're actually now called Turning Point Education. Our first name was Academy, but we kind of outgrew that name. And so our name is Turning Point Education. We're the K-13 education division of Turning Point USA. And we have five major initiatives, and I'll just mention them and won't take the time to explain them. But everything is at our website, which is turningpointed.com, turningpointed.com, all one word. But we're starting churches schools around the country. We have 58 school groups that we're working with. They're in the incubation period. So it's just amazing from Alaska to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. These are groups of folks that are interested in starting schools. We come alongside them, give them everything they need, and then mentor them after they're actually launched. We call it our 5C school model: Christian, classical, conservative, collaborative, and cost affordable. We do educator summits, and our most recent one was down in Tampa, Florida, and Charlie was our last speaker, and I just played a clip of Charlie's here at the Museum of the Bible that he spoke with us just this couple months ago. We've also created some pieces of curriculum where we feel like there's a need or an opportunity, and this will blow your mind. Since Charlie's assassination, we've had orders for 579,611 pieces of our curriculum. So it's just mind-boggling.
Can you handle that? Okay, practically speaking, can you handle that volume?
Well, I mean, no, we can't, actually. And so we're figuring all that out. But, Sandy, I could give you numbers that, you know, your listeners would think this is just absolutely crazy, and so I hesitate to do it. But back to what we're doing at Turning Point Education, we also have an association of education advocates, people that are concerned about education, to lock arms, work together to make a difference. We call that the Turning Point Education Association. And then we have our nine-month in-residency prep year program. And actually, this was the last video that Charlie did for me, just recorded a few days before his assassination. He was wanting to be with us as we launched down at Fort Worth, Texas, on the campus of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. But it's a nine-month in-residence program where we talk about the great book that is the Bible, the great books of Western civilization, the great documents of our country. We have great mentors, great speakers, and it's really an absolutely fantastic program. And Charlie endorsed it, supported it. And so all that to say, you asked, you know, doing homeschool curriculum. I mean, that's a small subset of what we're doing at Turning Point Education.
Yeah, no, that helps a lot. And just about the academy, so kids live in for 9 months in Fort Worth?
Yeah, it's really exciting. We have the future Charlies. This is like the SWAT team, the SEALs, the Special Forces of Turning Point. And these are 18 and 19-year-olds. They could be doing a lot of things, turn down scholarships in some cases to come and be with us. And one of the things we do, Sandy, is we explore different career options as part of the program. It's a holistic program. It's not just an education program. We have a strong, strong spiritual formation component to it as well. But we explore, you know, the potential of going on to college, a life in academy. We also look at the military as an option. We look at trades, the arts. We look at entrepreneurship, homemakership, and that all of those we validate as valid callings from the Lord. But regardless of where God calls them next, they are going to have such a great foundation in biblical worldview, in civics, in classics. And so they will have that foundation. And why is that needed? Because schools today don't do any of that. And schools are not giving students a biblical worldview. Students are not getting anything close to civics. And I'm even talking about Christian schools are not giving students really strong courses in civics. And so we want to give these great students a wonderful foundation. These students have already demonstrated leadership. And I'm not exaggerating to say that, these are young Charlies in development that we are investing in significantly. The cost to them is minimal. 99% of the cost is underwritten by donors that believe in what we're doing. And by the way, Sandy, everything that I just mentioned to you, because of generous donors, we're able to give away for free. So our conferences, our helping to start schools, our curriculum, being a part of Prep Year, joining the association, we are fortunate and we're blessed not to have to charge for any of that. So it's a great joy and blessing to be able to offer these things.
Okay, well, that's turningpointed.com, turningpointed.com. Now, one other thing. You're at the Museum of the Bible, and you are at a meeting of Battle for American School. And you're there with Pete Hegseth and I think the Secretary of Education. Can you just tell us briefly what that's about?
Yeah, this is very exciting. And, so many things are happening these days. What this is we've come together. We're one of the charter partners along with the Association of Classical Christian Schools, the Heritage Foundation, Concordis. Because, Sandy, you're on the cutting edge of all of this, but you know that with the onset of more and more states moving towards school choice, vouchers, tax credits, ESAs, it is about 17 now and growing, thankfully. Demand is going to exceed supply. If everybody that is, going to get a voucher wanted to go to Christian school, there's not enough seats. And so we see that problem coming. And so this is a concerted effort to work together with like-minded Christian organizations to start more schools and provide more seats. It's basically what it boils down to. And so this was the launch of this new initiative. And so, yeah, Pete Hegseth kicked us off yesterday, and I had the opportunity to speak. Oz Guinness spoke. We had some other wonderful speakers, George Grant. As it turned out, the Secretary of Education wasn't able to make it, but we had a number of other speakers. We had some pretty distinguished people in the room, and then we had a wonderful banquet last night where people had the opportunity to support this initiative. So That's what that's going on. That's what we mean by the battle for the American school. We've just started, but we're very excited, and we look to hopefully be able to make a pretty big dent in schooling for kids, the options that are available for kids and families.
Hutz, I think you're going to have to clone yourself to keep up with all of this, but I love it. I mean, this is redemption, isn't it? This is just redemption. This is Charlie's, a seed planted, and I know that the Turning Point Prep part of this was your baby, and so I just so proud of you. I really am. Can I just say that? But so, Dr. Hutz Hertzberg, I think we need to let you go, but this has just been a pleasure, and just to have a few moments with you because you're so busy, I don't get to see you. But it really is a blessing. We're proud of you. We really are, Bruce and I, and anybody that knows you. So thank you.
Well, Sandy, thank you. You're a special friend, as is Bruce, and when I think of future Charlies, I think of future Sandys as well. And because this is who you are and this is what you've done all your life. And so you have been doing this, and we want to raise up those that will follow in your stead. So that's what we're committed to. And we're seeing some fruits of that, but there's a lot more work to be done. So thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Member Hutz Hertzberg, turningpointed.com, turningpointed.com.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe versus Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this. And you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, Hutz mentioned, just referred to a recording that Charlie made just a few days before he was assassinated. And so we're going to play a little bit of this because he mentions Hutz's part in Turning Point. He also spells out, probably better than anyone, what's available at the Turning Point Prep Program. It's just pretty amazing. And you can see why Charlie is so motivating. Just a chance to hear his voice one more time. Here he is.
I'm just so thrilled for what the team first has accomplished, the entire Prep Your team, Hutz and Dr. Gooch. Thank you guys for your hard work and your diligence and your faithfulness putting this all together. So God bless you guys. And for all of you Prep Your students, I just can't say enough good stuff about this idea. This idea was really born largely thanks to Hutz, who said, Charlie, you're always talking about not going to college. Why don't we develop a biblically based prep year where we are able to bring students through a masterclass year of the Western canon, of biblical scriptures, of what it means to think, actually go through what logic is, what reason is. And for all you parents watching this right now, I would venture a guess, I would place a wager even, that your daughter, your son, over the next year is going to learn a lot more at Turning Point Academy prep year than going to just a regular college or university. You see, at the regular college or university, it's kind of like a mill. You know, they sit in an auditorium and they just kind of teach the same thing, and it's all pablum. It's very secular. It's humanist. And even if you send them to a Christian school, it might be woke and not individualized. This is individualized teaching that is meant to raise up biblical leaders in the faith so that they can be, so your son and daughter can be understanding what Jesus wants us to do to fulfill the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, to love God and love people, to know what Jesus actually wants. And if we're honest with ourselves, the nation needs more young game changers like your son and your daughter that is going through prep year to really dive into these ideas, see what the Lord wants for them. And there's and the experts that they are going to be around, the subject matter professionals, to learn what the Bible has to say, to learn, honestly, what is the Constitution? What are the Federalist Papers? What is the Declaration of Independence? To raise up biblical patriots that love this nation, but most importantly, love God and love Jesus and want to serve for his purposes here on earth. God bless you guys, and thank you, Hutz, and the entire team. Everybody, study hard, work hard. This is a year that will form you for the rest of your life. This is a year that you will remember for as long as you live. It will set a foundation of your worldview. It will teach you apologetics. It will teach you all the great lessons of the faith. And so dive in. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Take learning super seriously. You're going to dive deeper and become wiser than any other college could get you close to. So God bless you guys, and thank you for spending the time. I'll be praying for you and hope to see you guys soon, and I will see you soon. God bless you all. Thanks so much.
All right, well, that was the very lost voice. I can hardly believe Charlie's gone still. I really can't. But that was his voice. That was his vitality, his love, his enthusiasm, motivating millions of people still. And so I wanted you to hear it. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, turningpointed.com, turningpointed.com for more information about these programs. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.